Welcome to Podcasting Smarter, the podcast for podcasters by podcasters. Podcasting Smarter is the official podcast from Podbean, featuring podcasting interviews, best practices, and helpful tips. We're here to give you the tools, resources, product updates, and news to help you get started podcasting and keep your podcast growing.
Welcome back, everyone. We are so excited that you're joining us here today. We're back with the folks from Dear Alice, a podcast all about interior design.
Last week's episode is where they talked about marketing and monetizing the Dear Alice podcast. If you haven't had a chance to listen to more about the show and how they've monetized, go back and listen to last week's episode first. In this week's episode, we're sharing excerpts from the live event where they talk about building their community, how they've launched live events, how they integrate Instagram into their strategy, because the podcast is an audio medium for a visual business. So it's really cool to hear how they incorporate listener feedback through social media to build their community, how they're utilizing their newsletter, and how they keep connected with everybody who listens to the podcast and reaches out to them, further creating engagement within the community that they've built for the Dear Alice podcast and Alice Lane Home Design as a business. Stay tuned, and here we go.
Can you guys tell us about the runway and what you guys do in terms of marketing the podcast? What's sustainable for the show? Because a lot of podcasters feel they have to be everywhere, and that can be very intimidating. So figuring out what works for your audience and what has made an impact for Dear Alice.
I mean, you could, depending on the staff and how much time you want to put into this, it's endless ideas, right? But I think one thing that's nice too, if we're like looking for a topic, or we know we're going to be talking about kitchens. And so we might ask a question to our audience. We'll tell our social girl, hey, we're talking about kitchens tomorrow. Ask them what questions they have for us about kitchens. And then we're answering their questions on the podcast, because we're like, everybody's going to want to know this question. Like, what's our favorite appliance package? Everybody's going to want to know. So we'll kind of go through and filter the questions about what we think most people would want to know, and then talk about that on the podcast. So we use our community, and you can create a whole community marketing wise, whether that be emails while you're answering questions. I have my girl right now that sends me a Marco Polo, and she's like, hey, we have these questions, and they sent pictures. They want advice for their house. Should we try doing that? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm driving home right now. So I'll just, with my voice, I'll just tell you, you know, what's their design issue, and I'll answer it for them. And so she is sitting there and giving them, answering emails, and we're answering it on the podcast. So we're kind of creating a community. They're leaving comments, which is so nice. And now we're reading a comment at the beginning of every Dear Alice episode, so that way they feel like they're a part of it. We're asking them what they think on Instagram. We're emailing them back. We're, you know what I mean? Like, we're just doing our best to sort of touch them wherever we can. So as far as like building a runway, though, you're talking about like ramping up a podcast before it's getting started.
Each episode, you know, what do you guys do?
Yeah. I would say even like this past week, our marketing girl did an awesome job. I think what was the topic yesterday? It was agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. So kind of polarizing topics, right? That people have asked us about, like color trim or white trim, or just like we have our opinions. And what she did is like, she took the content of like those visuals that we talked about that we're posting every day leading up to the podcast. And she asked our community, like all these years, like, okay, white trim versus color trim. And she showed all the examples of both, like, where do you stand? So then they're just like, well, shoot, this is where I stand. But it's just like making them want to listen to Thursday. Mm-hmm. But visually, like she's done such, and we've had more engagement this week, if we look at our Instagram, than we have for months.
Yeah.
As far as every day, we have like 70 plus comments on that one question, you know, which is high for like an Instagram post. So anyway, I would say just like kind of create something polarizing.
Create a discussion. Ask people what they think, and they'll answer back. And when they're answering back, then they're thinking about it, and they're like, I should tune into that. I'm invested, right? Mm-hmm. So I think really engaging your audience with great questions they'll respond with comments, or which do you like better? And the photos are right there. So it's just like, it's easy to do, but then all of a sudden they're in it, and then they got to know what the podcast says about it, which is great.
Yeah. If I'm looking at a big picture, I would say do what you can do well to start. You know, we've just started like filming the podcast like 3 months ago, putting it on YouTube and creating shorts from it. Intentionally, we waited a couple of years so we could kind of the podcast is a juggle. And I would imagine, you know, it is for everyone. So you got to learn to, you know, juggle two things, and then you get really good at doing those, and you can add a third. And you know, we're going to really, you know, try to attack YouTube and throw that in there. I think if we would have tried to do all of these things at one time, we would have dropped the ball and it wouldn't have been as successful. So I think we had a clear plan of what we wanted to do. We knew we could do this well. We did that. We expanded it. And it kept expanding and expanding. And it's like you change something 2 degrees and over a long period of time, it, you know, becomes what it is. So just doing what you can do well and what you can handle in your current workload is, I think, is key.
Yeah, absolutely. And the three of you have spoken a little bit about audience engagement, but I'd love to know kind of any other specifics you have in terms of audience engagement, right? I mean, I'm getting that there's a lot of interaction on social media. I'm getting that a newsletter is going out. I'm getting that people are able to submit their questions and feel like their voice or their design question or issue is heard on the podcast. What else have you guys done in terms of that engagement with people who listen to the podcast and the community that you've created with Dear Alice?
We just barely did, in October, we did a Dear Alice live event, which was really fun. It was kind of like our version of the masterclass. Mm-hmm. And people flew in from different states and they all gathered in our showroom and we taught them things live, like how to, our three favorite ways to make a bed. Here's mm-hmm. some great ways of space planning your room. If you just took these few things, this looks more designer than this. You'll, you know, have your coffee table like this. And here's how you style a mantle. And here's all of our favorite mantles in your packet. So you can see how all of those are styled. Here's what to not do. We're not karate chopping pillows anymore. So we're just teaching them things in real life. And mm-hmm. that was a really fun way to engage. They could buy a digital ticket or they could come live in person. And it was really fun because we have a really big audience outside the US that were tuning in from Germany and, you know, all over the world. It makes your community and your world feel smaller and like we're together. And I feel like that created a lot of intimacy, which was really, really fun. And we all left saying, oh my gosh, we've got to do this again, like more than once a year. I think that was really fun. What are some other ways we've engaged our audience? We email them, we text them in SMS whenever it's a new podcast drop so that they know.
We sometimes, if we have a question that we're like, I wonder if people would want to hear an episode about this, like, you know, we'll pull our Instagram audience. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of really good feedback. I know all of us personally, like we receive DMs on Instagram and I know that sounds like a small thing, but I think just genuinely wanting to respond to people and like interacting with people is, that's just like furthering that relationship. And to me, that's key. I can imagine, you know, like growing up a huge fan of music as a kid, if I were to like email artists and they were like messaging me back or whatever, that would be...
You'd freak out.
Yeah.
You don't freak out.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome. And honestly, I can like, for all of us, when people message us and are like, someone messaged me yesterday, it was like, your episode was so awesome. Your story was funny. And it genuinely made my day. And so like like I wanted to respond back to her and it was fun. So I think just doing that and enjoying the process mm-hmm. of it, you know, enjoying the process of building that community and seeing it grow is a ton of fun.
You learn how they feel about you too, because they're like, they think I'm their girlfriend. They think you're their buddy. Mm-hmm. Like, is they're reaching mm-hmm. out to us and talking to us socially and we're answering back. And so I'm glad they don't feel like we're in some glass box in a tower somewhere and that we're not approachable. I'm just glad that we're all just normal people having this normal conversation about interior design. And I feel like we're helping build passion in them to want to create a home that's unique to who they are because of the life they're living and for their lifestyle. And I just think it's a really beautiful thing that all of us are so interested in today. And it's cool that we can give a voice to it and engage with people as often as we can, answer the DMs, answer the emails, and just make them feel like they're a part of it. I think it's just an extension of who we are, how we treat each other, and that we are trying to make this pie in the sky, big ethereal thing called taste and design really normal and put it down on the ground and talk about it.
We've had listeners like completely change their occupation, mm-hmm. you know, or just like, and we've been down. They're like, how do I do this? I love design. How do I do it from here? This is where I'm currently sitting. Would you recommend? And so like total trajectories have changed because of the podcast. Which is like super powerful. And like, we've been stopped at market and people have said, I used to be in finance. Now I'm doing design. I'm so grateful that I heard you on the podcast mm-hmm. on this episode, talk about the business of design and that if you're passionate about it, go for it. So again, like your voice is strong if you're willing to share. So anyway,
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think it's something where, you know, sometimes impact is vast, and with podcasting, we hope it is, right? With downloads, but sometimes it's also deep, right? You're making a big change in someone's life. And so that's also a really great reflection also of the power and the quality and the depth of the engagement that you guys have with your audience as well. And in terms of socials, you guys all talked about Instagram. And what is great about Dear Alice is that it's a podcast on interior design. And so Instagram is a great social medium for that, right? It's a great compliment because it's a visual platform. It's a visual social media. And so for everybody out there who's thinking, well, what's mine? It might be different, right? Maybe your audience is going to be on TikTok or Twitter or Facebook or something like that. But it's important to, like Corey said, you know, don't do everything. Do the thing that's going to work. And obviously for a design podcast, it's something where Instagram is such a visual medium. It really lends to the engagement and interaction you're able to have with your audience there, whether it's, you know, dropping those photos of, you know, the topic of the week, you know, that day of, or putting up a poll, you know, how do you feel about trim? Like, you know, hot topic or like controversial opinion, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that that's really important as well. And all three of you spoke really about engagement, which is so important. You know, I think there's simple things, right? Like making sure you respond to all your comments, all your DMs, if you can. And if, you know, maybe it gets out of hand, having somebody help you with that, because you want to make sure that each person who's taken the time to listen to your show feels heard and their comment or their question gets addressed. So I really love that aspect as well. And that also is what adds to the community of people that trust you and feel like it's that two-way conversation. And even if you don't, you know, post on a specific platform or have direct messaging or comment engagement with your listenership, they're going to tell you what they think based on the download numbers, right? They're going to tell you when they listen or not what they think of the show. And so I think that that's also a really great thing. And so it's also something where somebody reaches out to a show and they don't respond, or, you know, they don't reply to the comment, or they don't reply, you know, they don't answer the question or something like that. It can be off-putting. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to make sure that that dialogue is ongoing and that that inclusive feeling of your podcast translates into how you interact with your audience on other platforms as well. So I love what all three of you said about that. Next, I want to talk about, you know, staying innovative. The podcast has been around for a few years, which is incredible. And like all three of you have mentioned, Dear Alice is a podcast on interior design, right? Alice Lane Home Design is an interior design company. And how do you keep the podcast episode topics innovative and engaging? What are some of the strategies that the three of you use to maintain fresh content and find interesting topics to talk about every week on the show?
Take it, Sue. I feel like you're sent.
Take it, Sue.
We sit down for an hour every week just to discuss topics. We are always DMing each other things from other home accounts. Like, this would be a fascinating podcast. Mm-hmm. Or El Decor is talking about how silver is the new metal instead of brass. Or HGTV did this big article. And so we're seeing kind of, we're like social listening to what's happening out there in the marketplace. And then we take that in and we debrief it on our podcast. We're also asking people if there's a topic, like we're going to talk about kitchens, what questions do you have? Then we can really make a whole outline based on just their questions. And we only ever give ourselves a bullet point. We never want this to feel scripted. Yeah. We want to make sure that we're just talking in real time, communicating, having it feel super honest. And I've listened to podcasts where they feel very scripted and it just feels like they're reading to me. And I'm like, I am going to have a nap. This is the most boring podcast. Like, I mean, I hate to say it, but the other interior design podcasts sound like that to me. It's like monotone. Somebody's reading to me. And I'm like, oh no, if I wanted to read, I would read, but I'm not interested in you reading to me. Really just like social listening, understanding what people want to know, seeing what's happening in the marketplace. Ooh, this thing just happened on a project and this was a huge mistake. Let's teach the people how not to make the mistake. Yeah,
lessons learned. Let's teach them our lessons learned.
Yes. And I think the best way we learn is from failure, right? And so let's teach them what we failed on so then they don't have to fail on it, because then we all get to learn from that one thing that went wrong, you know, whether it be some sort of layer in the flooring or the kitchen or a varnish or a countertop used or I don't know.
I was just about to say, even like personally, like, yes, we have like all of our clients in these big high profile, you know, jobs. But we also have like our own lives that we're designing around, which our lives are not the lives of our clients. And so we talk about emergency remodel and that my mom went into the bathroom and her socks are wet. So of course, if there's a plumbing leak, so how did we address it? What did that look like? Because these are real life issues. And so I think people like to hear that, like the normalcy of like problems and that they're not the only ones going through this. Mm-hmm. And this is how we tackled it. So I think also, I think that that's interesting to people is that just like listening to our hardships and how we overcame them and how we came out with something really beautiful. So
yeah, absolutely.
This is so hard and it's so expensive and you're so frustrated when you're midway through a project and your house is not normal and your toilets aren't flushing because you had to uninstall them and you're having to use a bathroom in the basement and like your whole life is in shambles until these projects are done. And so you're like, you're normal. How you're feeling is normal. Yeah. Suzanne's going through it right now. Yes. It's the worst. Make sure and do
basement's
this.
Basement's flood.
Make sure and
do it happens.
This. Yeah. Yeah, that happens.
Never make the time of the project shorter if you learn from my experience. So anyway, I think, yeah, being super candid is really great.
And polarizing too. And being okay with being honest. I think that whole, as you mentioned, the HGTV thing, the Washington Post like put out a very controversial, polarizing article on how HGTV was making people sad in their spaces because they were expected to do this thing that everybody was doing. And so we're like, we need to talk about that. Yes, it's not going to be popular amongst everyone, like even our audience, but it needs to be said and we have feelings about it. And so I think those honestly become some of the most listened to because people are like, oh my gosh, they're going to unpack that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like that's good content. So be okay to like not be liked on every single episode, but that you were honest enough to address it. I think it's really trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. We're passionate about interior design and we are all students of it still. Like we consume it, you know, like we're on Instagram and we send each other posts and like, check this out. And how Stu said, you know, like I read an article this morning, like the Wall Street Journal released an article saying like why your $2,000 sofa will be thrown away in 3 years. I was like, man, I'm so excited that this is like,
I hope not. That's right.
Let's quit buying disposable furniture, people.
Yeah.
Let's go into the landfill. Like, let's educate people on why sofas are more expensive and why they're a better sit and why they're worth the money, you know? So it might be better to rescue an old sofa that was built better and reupholster it than to buy that thing from
big retailer, whatever.
Yeah. Because it's not made super well and those things are going to break down and then you're going to have to haul it out of your house and get rid of it somehow, right? So it's more pain than it's worth. But yeah, I think stuff like that, just watching, seeing what's coming up, being able to comment back on it. I think stuff like that gives us great content.
And how it like interweaves with our passion and like the design principles that we believe in. And I feel like we have these certain principles that, you know, like I said, we believe in, and we keep retelling those over and over again in different situations. And so it's kind of like, you know, if you told someone something, tell them again. And then, you know, tell them again. And then that's just what we've been doing. And it's really been refreshing to see how many people believe the same thing that we do, especially in the community that we've created. And to see like the Wall Street Journal release something like that. And it's like, wow, it's like, that we felt like we we're like the only in every
preaching.
It's affirming. It's really affirming. Absolutely. Suzanne, what you said about, you know, don't be afraid to be controversial. That's important, right? And obviously you don't want to alienate anybody. And, you know, we have guidelines, right? Nothing extreme or hate speech, but within your topic, it's okay to have opinions, which I think is really important. And, you know, I think what each of you said makes a lot of sense because when a lot of podcasters talk about episodes, every podcast is going to have those couple episodes, handful episodes that do exponentially better. Like there's just something about them, right? Whether it's the topic, whether it's the guest, whether it's the timing of it. And a lot of the time, episodes that are super successful, right? Maybe you have one on, I just keep coming back to, we don't karate chop pillows anymore, right? Maybe you have I know you guys have a podcast episode on it, but maybe you have one, you know, titled, we don't karate chop pillows anymore. And every time somebody searches for that or wants to know about pillows and what we're doing now, they're going to go back and listen. And so what's great about podcasting is that unless you're a news podcast, really a lot of that content's evergreen. So you're going to keep being able to build the audience. You're going to keep being able to serve ads on those episodes that are really evergreen and have that popularity. And you guys can speak to this. There are episodes that are going to be like out of the ballpark. And, you know, when you're recording them, maybe they seem a little bit shinier or special, or maybe they don't, but the downloads are going to tell you a different story. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. And then number two, I think what you also said, Jess, in terms of the project's taking a long time. And Suzanne, what you said in terms of the relatability, you know, a lot of the projects that when you think, okay, home interior design, a lot of it is aspirational and very expensive for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so it's something where, you know, how do they apply those design principles or, you know, maybe some of the ideas to their life or their home, or how do they problem solve when a basement floods, that kind of thing. And so I think having that approach of, you know, not just from that top down, not like, hey, do you want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a home design? Or here's what we're doing and here's what you can gain from it. And here's the conversation we're having and here's what inspired it. You know, I think is a lot more inclusive as well. And I wanted to ask you guys, what are some of those episodes that you've noticed people just bring back up or, you know, DM you about, ask questions about, or comment on even the most after they're not new?
Great question. I mean, I think we know top performing podcasts, which we had a real estate expert come on last year, and we were like, interest rates were rising and people were putting their projects on hold. And we're all like, whoa, let's wait and watch what the market does before we make these massive investments. Because mm-hmm. for most people, the biggest financial investment they make is their home, you know, and then their car after that. So anyway, we had him come on and really talk about real estate, what was happening in the marketplace, that these interest rates are actually normal. 2% isn't normal. 3% is not normal. What's normal is 5% and 6%, which is where we are right now. What's not normal was 19, 21% in the 80s. So really, we're sitting in a good spot and we should continue to move forward with our plans and our dreams, because this is a normal interest rate, is what he was teaching us. Yeah, yeah.
He said, market correction.
He called it a market correction. What's not normal is 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. Don't ever even expect 2 and 3 to come back. Let's move on with our lives. Let's move on with our projects. And he was giving lots of examples of things that he thinks are a really great investment when it comes to real estate. And like even things that we should be doing with our kids. And that was like one of our top episodes, how to organize your closet. In the first year that we were doing the podcast, that was our number one performing podcast. Really great tips. We had an organizer come on that does this for all sorts of people and gets paid good money to do it. She gave her favorite hanger. She gave her method. She talked about how to reduce inventory in closets emotionally. She just took us through a whole lot of things that were really intelligent and people loved it. I'm sure it was shareable. I don't know. What do you think as far as like comments coming in though? Like what are top favorite pod? Soon I never see the comments or read them.
We get DMs.
I don't know where they go.
Yeah.
Our team has to read us certain comments, but I think you know more than we do about.
Yeah. If we can give people like a list of things, say like, you know, our 10, you know, tips for doing, you know, X, those have been great. And then people can really itemize like, and really just start, you know, being able to create a list of their own and start checking those things off. I think those have always been really good for us. It's easier for us to organize as well, as far as content goes. So I think that's huge. And again, that's just us giving free information. Like, this is what we would do. We think you should too.
I think we just got feedback that like our most listened to in like the last quarter was like what we're seeing for next quarter trends, you know? So I think getting like paying attention to words that like you guys kind of give us too, that, you know, are like good for searching, right? Is trends. Top 10 is palatable stuff that like people can really attack and be successful at and like learn something great within like the 20 to 40 minutes that we're podcasting. Mm-hmm. So just easy instruction, interesting topics, and the right words, honestly.
Yeah. Kind of like, you know, like what's buzzworthy right now. And I think every time you get up to bat, it's not going to be a home run. If you keep consistent content and you just try to make that content as best you can, every once in a while, you will hit a home run. Yeah, it'll feel good.
And I think too, like we try really hard to just stay up on, like we record, like, there's very, like maybe once or twice a year where we do like a best of the year, but like we're releasing a new podcast every single week. Through the holidays, like it's very rare that we have, like we skip a week. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's also, it keeps people like, I know that when I listen to podcasts and like they take a break, I stop listening. Yeah. Like sometimes I never go back to it just because like
That drop off.
The drop off for sure. So I think just like staying with it, like just stick with it.
Keep them in your pocket. Stay in the groove.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's good.
Stay in the groove. Yeah. Consistency is key. And we've seen that, you know, with downloads that podcasters are getting. It's, and part of that is audience trust, right? Mm-hmm. Suzanne, like, what you were saying is when people are listening, you know, they know it's going to, hey, Dear Alice is coming out on a Thursday. It's Thursday. And so if Thursday hits and it doesn't come out, that promise is a little bit broken. right? Yeah. And maybe you'll come out the next Thursday and it'll be okay, but maybe you'll skip a couple of Thursdays. And that's where, you know, pod fade comes in, where it's, you know, that podcaster burnout. And it's important to make sure that you have systems in place, right? Whether you're recording multiple episodes at once, or you're outsourcing some of your content, or Corey, like what you said as well, it's doing what works and being consistent about it, right? When we're talking about Instagram and promoting the podcast, it's the same for making the podcast and publishing. You want to make sure that whatever you're doing it in a way that the podcast has a chance to grow, mm-hmm. right? And offers something to the audience that they know what they're going to get. And it's not constantly shifting or changing in a way that they don't understand it on maybe even a subconscious level as well.
We've even had feedback where like we're part of their routine.
So yeah, they're, totally.
Every Thursday morning, they go on a walk with their mom and their sister, and they all have their AirPods in, and they're all listening to the podcast together. And it feels like we're going on a walk with them. Mm-hmm. Or we're part of like while they're folding laundry, and they feel a little bit more luxurious while they're doing this common task that we all have to deal with. And I'm like, I love that we're part of their routine. Yeah. I remember like even like before pods, like everything, like the Today Show, the morning show is part of my routine. Mm-hmm. Martha Stewart was part of my routine, and podcasts have kind of replaced that. But I think it's important to like kind of find your pocket and stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust, mm-hmm. show up for them every time. Yeah. It's great.
Oh.
We actually record three at a time when we sit down to do it. When we actually have the space carved out and the lights are set up and the cameras and we're actually doing it, we're like, it's just easier to bang out a couple. And so that helps us get farther ahead, which helps us be more consistent too. So I would say that would be a best practice for us, is don't just record one at a time. You're in the mood, you're talking. It's so
you got the mic set up, right? Yeah.
The first one is like always just a little bit rusty, and then the second one's great and the third one's really juicy. So I think we even get better the longer that we keep talking. So that's another reason why not to just go cold and record one each time, because you're going to be really, really lubricated and slippery and awesome by that third one.
Yeah.
So that works for us.
I remember we even used to do like four at a time, and by episode four, we were like burnt out. Like four wasn't a good episode.
Yeah.
So we learned that three was like our max.
Yeah.
They continually got better.
Totally.
And that's something that each podcaster is going to learn for them on their journey, right? Each show is going to have, hey, how many can I record at one time where they're going to sound good, where we're going to be in the flow of the conversation, mm-hmm. where I'm not going to, you know, have tried to use my brain too much. Right? It's something where I think that's you can tell. It's definitely something where when you're listening, and you know when things are snappy, right? And you know also maybe when there's longer pauses or somebody's struggling to find words or things are a little bit clunkier as well. So I think that's really great advice as well. Well, it's just been such a pleasure to speak to the three of you today. Corey, Jess, Suzanne, it's just been so great. Like I mentioned, we've got links to Dear Alice in the description of today's episode. Thank you all so much for joining us. The Dear Alice Design Podcast with Corey Place, Jess Bennett, and Suzanne Hall, the creative forces behind Alice Lane Interior Design. To start your podcast today, head over to podbean.com. And if you have any questions, you can also email us always at podcastingsmarter@podbean.com. Thanks for joining us for this replay of our live event episode. If you have any questions about podcasting and want to get in touch with the Podbean team, reach out to us at podcastingsmarter@podbean.com. Happy podcasting.